Okay, welcome back to another episode of Music with Matt. We are here to explore how music intersects with people's lives in various ways. And we're very excited to have our guest today. But before we get there, my name's John.
And I'm Wes. And today we've got a good pal, Don. Don, why don't you introduce yourself and just kind of describe what it is that you do?
Okay. My name's Don. I've been a musician since I was a teenager. Somehow I have found myself in the position of a Foley artist. It's a relatively new thing for me, but it seems to, I don't know, people tell me I'm good at it, so I'm just doing it.
So I mean, you and I have had many conversations about this, but for those listening that aren't aware, what is Foley?
Foley is just, it's not exactly sound effects on movies, but it is. I basically walk people. How am I going to explain this? So obviously on movies, they can't get the microphone close enough to people's feet or to like a table or whatever that people are doing. So we have to re-record all of those sounds. So my job is to just watch the movie, put a sort of microphone on my feet. That's one aspect of it. And I just choose shoes and look at the ground around it and sort of like if it's a... I'm so bad at this.
No, that's great. You're on the absolute right track because you're right. What it is like if there was no such thing as Foley, when you would film a movie, you would just have this incredible loud room sounds and wind sounds and everything like this. Yeah. So Foley kind of goes in and like you said, when somebody walks across the room, you hear footsteps and when you're watching a movie and you don't think about it because it's a natural thing that you would hear in real life.
Right.
But those footsteps are recorded in a specific studio to record footsteps on, say, different types of ground, right? And when somebody opens a door, that little doorknob sound and the creaking sound, because again, if we're on set, like at a big movie or a small movie or any kind of movie, TV show, you would hear just so many different things that would detract from the purpose of that scene, right?
And it sounds like you're saying, even if something were there, the sort of, you know, the recorded sound from them filming, it may have captured some of that, but not enough for it to be fully present. So then you basically just go back and kind of, you know, betterize it and make it actually sound proper.
Betterize.
I love using that word.
Betterize is a good word.
It's a great word. Yeah. And so, and I've always thought of it basically, Foley is kind of like, you generate the sound effects yourself and then record them. And then you just mix them back into whatever the project is that you're working on.
That's the thing, is that it's really for a mixer to be able to bring up the sounds and have control of those sounds. Because when you have just a boom mic in the room, it's bringing up, if you turn that up to get the feet louder, then you're picking up a million other things, right?
Yeah,
so you need to have like control of each individual sound.
Right. That makes me think it's like such a frustrating thing for anyone who works in sound is like anyone walking around, working on a film set or just like your average person who's like, you know, listens to music, watches movies, like you don't realize how much you hear when you start turning it up. And as a sound person, it's so frustrating to be like, it's too loud or like, stop talking in the background, you know, like all those different things. And so to be able to control those individual sounds is just like so important for the overall quality of the final product, right?
Yeah, you don't realize how much it like just hits you right in the heart, like those, just having those suspenseful footsteps or just like a door creaking ever so slightly,
or even you just tapped your heart there and that'd be a great spot for Foley where you could go like do like the thud sound as you're like hitting your chest there.
All those, the sounds that I have to do are so silly sometimes, you know. I mean, the feet are can be pretty straightforward, however sometimes you don't know what the surface of the floor is, so you do like a whole, you can do like spend 20 minutes doing a scene and then realize, oh, it's a dirt floor, or it's you think you're in a basement and you're like, oh, it's like a creaky wooden floor or something, or it's like a something else, and then you just have to go back and rewalk all the feet and stuff. So it can be a little frustrating because you can't, sometimes like things are so dimly lit you can't tell what's going on. Also sometimes the boom mic will just pick up random noises in the back of the room. And you're just going, what is that? That's actually one of the hardest sounds to Foley in a way is you're just like, I don't know what that sound is. But we have to cover it. Like sometimes if it's a mistake, like they won't want to draw attention to it. But sometimes it's so prevalent that you have to like come up with something.
With
you can't see what the person is doing. It's off camera. Like they're fiddling with something with their hands. And you're just like, what is that? And you just have to come up with something to cover it.
That makes sense for the scene, but doesn't detract from the,
that's,
the focal point.
That's the big piece, right? Because with Foley, it's this fine line of like, you know, making something realistic, right? Because if, say, you had no footsteps in a scene, you'd be like, well, that person just like floated across the room somehow.
Right.
So you have to ground it in reality to some extent, but also it's like it adds this production element, like you just said, for like a horror movie, right? Like how do those footsteps sound? Are they like almost too loud that it's unnerving for the viewer?
Yeah.
Or are they done in this very eerie, creaky, floory way? Or, you know, so all of these kind of little facets are involved in sort of what you do. So just take us through like an average day in the studio. So you go in and like, what kind of projects are you working on? What kind of, and I know you do a wide range of things, but
we do a lot of movie of the weeks, which are the Hallmark movies, which are we're always like interesting.
Right.
And then we, you know, mostly TV shows, but some movies, you know, it's kind of, it's a crapshoot. Like we have certain movies and TV shows, some things I can't talk about because we have
of course,
non-disclosure stuff. But it's really like, it depends on the length of, like a movie will normally take 4 or 5 days for us to do.
Okay.
A TV show, if it's 20 minutes, we can sometimes finish that in a day. 40 minutes might take 2 days. It really depends. But we usually start with feet. So we'll do all the feet, interior and exterior. So like
for like the whole project?
For the whole show. Mm-hmm, yeah. So that it all gets sort of done. Because you kind of like, you can have different Foley artists do feet, but they're going to sound a little bit different. Props are, which are like, you know, cups and, you know, people touching things or whatever. Those can be done by different Foley artists. So like say I do a show and I do like, if I only have 1 day on it, it's definitely going to take 2 days. I would do props first. And then somebody who was on the show for 2 days would do the feet so that it doesn't sound like different.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? So anyway, I come in, we do usually try to do feet first and then props. And then over top of the whole thing is something called moves, which is just you take a piece of fabric and you sort of like watch people walk through the room and you sort of, it's just sort of like it's basically just like a glue track. You barely notice it's there, but it's like the thing that's actually mixed the loudest because it just sort of like kind of smooshes everything together. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So like somebody's walking, I'll be like, shh, 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 shh.
Yeah.
Somebody puts their hands up. Shh.
Right.
Arm down. You know, there's a fight scene.
Right.
You know? Right.
And moves is really a big part of it that a lot of people don't know.
So when you go in, do you get like direction? Like, do you get a sheet of like, we have this amount of feet to do, this amount of feet to do, or is it a thing where you just get the film or like the visual itself and you have to go through as it's kind of in real time and like, okay, now I need to do this, now I need to do that?
It's a little bit of both. Sometimes we get specific notes for things that they really want like to pop out, and then other things like we won't get any notes at all. We just sort of have to make it up. We just have to sort of go through, okay, there's a hug. You know, we do all kinds of stuff, like little hand touches, hugs, like little kisses.
Right.
You know, fiddling with stuff. So we just kind of go through and we sort of have to make the judgment call sometimes.
Right,
it's just
right.
That's too small. They're blurry in the back. We're not doing those feet. We're not doing that prop. You know, this is like front and center. This is a montage that is probably going to have music played over the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So...
Do we even need to do?
Right.
They're not going to mix the Foley in here if it's like a rockin' scene of them like at a dance party or something. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So it doesn't make sense. Or we'll pick like little things here and there. Okay. But
interesting.
Yeah, we kind of.
So it's project specific, basically. Mm-hmm. Then. Okay. And then, so obviously you work with like a team of people, and then is there one person specifically who kind of combs through whatever it is that you're working with first? To kind of give like you and the other, okay. So it's kind of just like, you're just, whoever's working on the project is just watching it first to sort of see all of these things, taking notes, and then just chipping away one by one.
Yeah.
And just, I guess it's similar to sort of like filming scenes in a movie where you're like, let's film all the scenes that we need to film in this gymnasium where there's like the dancing part and the whatever else. And so you're like, what are all the scenes where there's footsteps and what are the different types of footsteps we have to record? And then you just check those off and then you go back and do the different fabrics thing and just check those things off. So,
yeah, we just kind of comb through the scene, But I mean, there's a project manager, obviously, and if that person has specific notes from like the filmmaker, then mm-hmm. we'll get a list, and right. those things we pay close attention to. But then sometimes we'll like take our, we'll be like, oh, let's do this like funny thing and see. Maybe they'll mix it. Maybe they won't. You right, know what I mean? Right. Like,
oh, cool. Yeah.
So sometimes we'll be like, oh, well, that would be funny, and they didn't ask for it, but we're gonna do it. I think it'd be hilarious.
Right.
You know, or it'd be, it would just add to it.
Sure. And it's always nice to have. There's a line to that, or like there's an exception or whatever, but like it's probably better to have sort of more stuff than less. So then like whoever it is that's receiving all this recorded material can sort of ultimately exactly. make that choice. It'd be way worse if they're kind of like, we don't have enough here. Like, I, you know, we don't have enough to mask those background sounds or whatever else.
That's so. Exactly it. And we would get, we always want to do more.
Yeah.
Because we don't want go backs, because those are always, you know, the file, the trading the files and then the new stuff and then exporting it and yeah. then trying to, you know, pop it back into the old session. Yeah. That's all finished. You know, it's just, we would rather not have like a go back.
For sure.
So that's the reason also that we do moves last, is that we do feet, we do props, and then moves comes last. And as you're doing the moves, the person who's recording is listening and watching for anything that we missed and making a note. And then
right.
as soon as we finish moves, it's like, okay, we've got these five go backs. We missed this, we missed this, we missed this.
Right.
And so there's a method to the madness.
Right. I was just going to say, it's like, it's obviously like quite a well-groomed system that you have, which yeah. is good.
But I feel like it would have to be, because at a certain yeah. point, it's just like, where do we stop? Right.
Yeah.
You know, right. if like you were just to go outside for 5 minutes and just like close your eyes and listen to everything that's happening around you.
Yeah.
Like you could probably continue identifying new sounds throughout that entire time.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not they've been there that whole time, but like that's also kind of an interesting creative line for you to find, is like, when do we stop
yeah. That is problematic as well. Like you'll like see something and do it, and then it happens like 15 more times in the scene, and then it just becomes like, you're just like, oh, like now I have this bag move, like somebody's got a squeaky purse and you heard it, so we're gonna do this, the bag move, and then you're just like, okay, but the bag doesn't really make a sound over here because of the placement of the mic, but it's still there, you know what I mean? Like, so it's very, sometimes you just open a can of worms and you're like,
I wish I hadn't done that.
Wish I hadn't pointed that out.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to be here an extra 45 minutes finishing whatever.
Just working on this purse or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds right. Interesting.
And then you wonder if it's going to get mixed and stuff. I mean, that's half a Foley too. It's like, you know, you work so hard on a scene and then they just throw music over it, or they just don't even turn it up.
Right.
And you're like,
cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for acknowledging all my hard work.
Dude. Yeah. 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 Foley gets, I love Foley, but we get kind of shit on sometimes.
Right. I mean, like, it's a tough spot to be in, especially where, as we were just saying, like, you know, your job is to sort of ultimately provide, you know, a multitude of options for whoever is ultimately working on whatever this project is, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like a tooth in the cog for this whole operation, to make a bike reference there for you, right?
Okay.
But I can understand how that's just sort of, you know, a frustrating sort of unfortunate like byproduct of the whole process. Yeah. And also it makes me think of one of the guests we had on the show is my friend Gavin, who is, you know, he's an audio engineer and he's like a music producer and he does stuff for commercials and things. And how he says, like, the thing that's the most frustrating but also sort of the greatest badge of honor is when like your work kind of goes unnoticed.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a good Foley artist has produced all those sounds, exactly what was needed for the production, and they're just sort of, they just blend in. Yeah. And so for the spectator, the viewer, they don't even notice it. And and it's like, do you have any idea how much hard work, how many times you had to walk up and down that hallway to get those footsteps or whatever, right?
No, yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah. It sounds natural. You're doing your job right. Yeah. If people barely notice it. Yeah. They say that about drummers too, right? They're just like, oh yeah, that drummer's great. I barely even noticed they were there.
Yeah.
You know, like
you
don't really want to.
The drummer's like, I practice 5 times a week. What's going on here?
Yeah.
Are you a drummer, by the way?
I am a drummer. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
This is a great segue, because I was curious off the top. You mentioned that you were initially like a musician or whatever, and then this kind of, you know, manifested into you now being a Foley artist.
Yeah.
So if we were to work back a little bit, so you are a musician, you're a drummer, so tell us a little bit about that. When did you start playing drums?
Well, I've had a interesting, like, lots of jobs and things like that, but anyway, I went to school for fashion design a million years ago. But I always loved music. I got my OSAP And I blew it on a drum kit.
Nice. As any responsible musician would do.
Right? Yeah, you know, that's what I thought. I was like, I could buy books and pay my rent, but like, I could also drum buy kit. A drum
yeah.
kit and learn to play drums. But I mean, I don't really have, like, I don't have a musical, like, background really, like, from childhood. I grew up in sort of like a sports oriented family. They didn't really like understand. But when I was like a teenager, when I got to college and I actually had my own money and stuff, I was like, I want music lessons.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I kind of was a little late to the game, but love playing drums. I've always sang.
Oh, cool.
Since I was little, and I love so singing and drumming is maybe, and I've been in a keyboard band for years, like since high school. Like I met some bandmates in high school, and we just hung out in their parents' basement and made music.
Great.
But we were all into like keyboards and like Depeche Mode and
right.
You know,
okay. Yeah. Okay.
Like. New synths Order and yeah. synths and yeah. stuff. Right, so those guys are really amazing. My bandmates, Matt and Mark Thibodeau, they're fantastic.
Sweet. And you still you still play with those guys and you still perform with them too, right?
Nice.
Like
yep,
you still
yep,
do shows. And,
yep. So we still play together. So I do
as a three piece?
As a three piece. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had many sort of different formations of our band over the year, over the years. But I don't know. I play a little bit of everything, I guess. Like I'm sort of self-taught drummer, self-taught guitar player, piano, play some piano, ukulele.
Cool.
Sing.
And then singing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you
so
find
singing's kind of what I'm best at, I guess.
Okay, but I was just going to ask, like, that's the thing that you're sort of, would you say, like, most gravitated to? Or if the question were posed, like, you know, what would you prefer to do? It would be singing first and then the other things kind of after?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, but I like doing all of it. I don't
know.
Sure, sure. I'm a little, like, distracted in that sense.
That's like being a musician, right?
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
You kind of get all your different inputs from all different areas and just kind of, like, throw it back in whatever unique creative way that
For
you
sure.
have, right?
Yeah. I also feel like in terms of being a musician, it's kind of like once you get your feet wet, whatever, like, the pursuit is, whether it's, like, an instrument or singing or something like that, and the better you get at that and the more you kind of come to understand music and music creation... It's a natural, like a logical stepping stone that you start being like, well, now I'm going to play guitar and like check, like play music and write music from this perspective and like as a drummer and things like that too, right?
Totally.
Do you find that you, or I should ask, like, do you drum and sing at the same time?
I do, yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's difficult.
Yeah, it is tricky. It's very tricky, but I usually just back up, like not really, like I've been in this band for years called Summer and Youth. It's sort of an indie thing and I played drums and sang back up in that for a while.
Cool.
And now I'm just in another band that is pretty much just instrumental. So I play drums in that band and then I'm in my regular band Repair. And then I just do...
And then in Repair, you're also doing some backing stuff?
Yeah. Well, no, Repair is the band that I sing in with Matt and Mark. And
oh, okay.
So I play a bit of keyboards. I play some bass.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I do a
and
little
no
bit...
And no drums.
No drums in that
okay.
one.
Okay, I meant to
drum
clarify
machines.
That earlier.
Yeah,
hey, okay.
We make the machines do the drums.
Great.
So I get a little break there. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like akin to that, like the genre and the groups that you mentioned too, right? Like the sort of...
But also drum machines are so fun. Like I remember when I was young, I got this little like... just at a pawn shop, this little tiny like drum machine that kind of like fit in your hand and you would like, you could like hit different things and program different things in and like adjust it. And then it had like cool filters and like EQs that made the drum sound weird and all
so
kinds
fun.
Of fun things.
No, yeah. Drum machines are amazing.
They're
samplers
awesome.
And stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so funny. Cause like that, all of this, like this band that I've been in for years, like they're obsessed with sounds and they like their synthesizers, they like the old analog stuff, they use samplers and stuff. So we would often just go out with like a recording device and just record weird sounds and then like
Foley.
Work them in.
Foley, yeah, exactly.
Kind of Foley. Well, that's
this is the Foley band.
Segue here. We're the Foley band.
Yeah.
So we would just do, we're like, oh, we need something sort of rhythmic here. Let's just take this piece of chain and drop it and sample it and then like cut it up and stuff. You know what I mean? So we would do, and I mean, even like, especially in like the 90s when it was sort of popular, we were like this sort of goth industrial band. So we use a lot of samples
right.
like people talking in movies
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You have this like big long intro with somebody like sort of saying all
dialogue,
this weird stuff and you and so we were really really into that. So we, you know, and my bandmate is also a Foley artist. That's sort of how
I
came into the whole thing, right? So it's just funny that our music sort of like led us into this Foley business.
But it's
that makes sense,
that's a creative journey, right? Like, and it just is it's cool because I'm a like a audio nut too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and it's just cool how technology kind of interweaves with creativity sometimes, right? Like you were saying, you know, in the 90s, like that was all of a sudden a possibility where you could get a field recorder that could get decent enough quality to go out and like record a chain dropping. Mm-hmm. And then you could like have an audio program to like chop it up and like use it in cool ways and,
mm-hmm.
and do different things with it.
And it's also a really cool aspect of like not only the recording process and like the incorporating of technologies and things like that, but then also like as a musician, there's just this general appreciation for sound. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which mm-hmm. is something that's like, that's really cool. And I feel like even, you know, working with you and MAP is something that I have really increased my appreciation of. And then even you hearing you speak about Foley and the different things that you're sort of doing and the, like the science behind it, the appreciation, the interpretation, like all of these things are in relation to just this general idea of sound and like what mm-hmm. you're hearing and like your relationship to that. So it certainly makes sense that your approach like as a musician would be like that. And then especially your bandmate as well, who is also a Foley artist. So do you remember a time ever, this is kind of maybe a big question, maybe a hard one to answer, but like, do you remember a moment or a period of time in your life where you sort of realized that you had this sort of just general appreciation for sound, like maybe above and beyond like liking music? Would it have come at that time?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I mean, I remember always like just being, you'd listen to a song on the radio and then like a horn would honk and it'd be like, oh, that actually was in tune with the song
right, you know.
Or just like you tap your hand on something. Oh, that sounds cool. You know, I mean, I guess I've kind of always been like that. Like I'm always just interested in sounds or like, especially hallways and stairwells and stuff like that. Like I'm so interested
there's
in like
just natural reverbs and things.
Yeah. You're just like, ooh, I want to like set up a microphone in here and sing, you know, And so, for sure. Okay,
so it's always just kind of been there.
Yeah, for sure.
That's super
cool.
Cause I feel like that's something that, that is something that's a sort of a unique aspect to your ear. I think to both of your ears where you kind of just naturally have that.
Mm-hmm.
For myself, like I've always played music and things like that. I might hear a sound and maybe think more like if a hand hits something, I would think like, oh, that makes me think of a particular kind of like maybe drum pattern or a certain sound might make me think of a melody. There's an appreciation for sound there. But I don't know if I would have as maybe if I walk into a big room, I don't know if I'd be like, ooh, a natural reverb sound. Mm-hmm. Like, we should put a microphone in here or something like that. I might have just been like, cool echo, like, hello, you know?